no warnings urgent enough, no medicines powerful enough to halt the awesome onslaught. And the innocent were dying first in Germany, then in Hungary and Italy, then Switzerland and France. Or were they so innocent after all? Physicians far and wide helplessly shook their heads, but many members of the clergy called it a curse, the ultimate penalty, they said, for a particular sin. In Germany, in the Protestant North, ministers openly accused the Catholic South of having fostered this international tragedy, the most tragic aspect of which was the direct relationship between the sickness and death and the specific willing behavior of the victims. Many doctors agreed, calling the waves of human suffering preventable. One widely circulated treatise called this new habit a main cause of the weakness of body and mind of our generation. And fewer listened, and more died. Preachers declared in desperation the sinning must stop. A man named Ernst Arndt traveled throughout Europe, observed the corruption and the contagion. He took notes. His recommendation was out-and-out prohibition of the behavior, which precipitated the medical problems. He would make that sin illegal. So town by town and province by province, the laws were passed. In some areas, they appeared as health ordinances. In others, as police edicts. In Magdeburg, in Breslau, in Frankfurt, beginning in Germany, then in Switzerland, the demoralizing and lewd habit was a punishable offense, but the prurient practice persisted. The Prussian court in Berlin took a stand, forbade the folly, and yet the masses continued to indulge themselves. Authors and poets assisted in the cause of prohibition. Even the unembarrassable Lord Byron confessed his shock at this behavior. And still the sin flourished, and in greater proportions than ever. It finally took an Englishman, a man named Thomas Wilson, to tell the world the rest of the story, that the lavishly condemned behavior blamed for so much ill was actually good for you. Good for you. That's what he said. Those who had died doing it were surely high-risk people to begin with, he said, too frail to withstand any kind of emotional or cardiovascular stress. Those who had suffered moral degradation as a result of it were simply doing it wrong. So Thomas Wilson published a book describing in detail how to do it right. And when the act was correctly performed, he insisted, it promoted vigorous health and even emotional well-being. There were even diagrams in his book graphically depicting the proper procedure. Wilson's book quickly became a bestseller, and unburdened of their guilt, Europeans pursued the controversial pastime with unprecedented enthusiasm, and we, more than a century and a half later, we find it difficult to imagine that it was ever considered immoral or vulgar, or that anyone thus excited ever actually died dancing the waltz. Now you know the rest of the story.
Protecting what matters on The Right Choice, AM 1230 KPRL 99.3 FM with Barry Fisher. Advice and information on protecting what matters most in today's world. Brought to you by Adler Belmont Insurance Brokers and their new associate, Heather Bordan, serving the commercial insurance needs of businesses on the Central Coast.
And good afternoon, and welcome back to Protecting What Matters again. My name's Eric Gorham. Barry is out today. He's out working. But if you have any of those questions in regards to insurance, give him a call. He is the man. I don't know that I've met too many people that know more than Barry when it comes into the insurance world. Long-term health, he is, you know, if you're into that or looking at that, he probably knows more than anybody out there. But we are back, and I think our guest went to tell on me. He went to Ann, the station manager, to tell on me about something. It was a little weird. I don't know. He ran out of here.
Was it weird? It was very important. Did you explain what we were talking about off air?
We were talking about the moral circumference of... No, we were talking about quiches, actually, off the air.
So Eric brings up to me, now remember, this is Eric who started off the show by saying, well, I'm never wrong, except once a year.
Okay, yeah, well, this I'm is still your once not a year. Wrong. I
you're, wrong
it
on, you're wrong on this one. So Eric says, I made a quiche, but I made it without crust. And that's what began this entire dialogue between the two of us that nobody got to hear, but you're going to hear right now. And I said, no, if it doesn't have a crust, it cannot be a quiche. It's just scrambled eggs.
It's not. There was 29 eggs. I've never scrambled 29 eggs at once.
Why would you scramble 29 eggs? Get three, put it in a skillet, a little bit of milk, a little bit of cream.
Put in a nice casserole dish. Put
some mushrooms or something like that. It's scrambled eggs.
I think that you're trying to be a purist in the quiche world.
No, I'm trying to be correct.
But I did look this up.
Call or text in right now and tell me who is right on this. Can a quiche be a quiche without a crust? Okay, now we can move on.
Oh, yeah. We're going to go to radio silence if nobody until the phone rings or the text line lights up to answer this important question.
Can a quiche be a quiche without a crust?
And just for that, we will be talking about a few things. We can bring things up that you want to talk about. We can talk about things we've already gone through, like daylight savings, Iran.
Can you mind if we go back and back it up and talk a little more about these kids walking out of school?
Oh, you can.
It doesn't bother me. It concerns me that there's a value system with these kids today that we're teaching them. And that is, you can go to school, and if you're upset over something, you want to protest something, you can throw away all of your responsibilities and not have responsibilities and just go out there and say what you want. I have no problem with anybody expressing their own opinion, regardless of their age. That's not the issue here. The issue is teaching kids that, look, no matter what your opinions are for something or against something, that's fine. But you do have responsibilities in your life. You can't just leave your job. You can't leave the responsibilities of your family or of your community and say, I'm dropping out and we're going to go do this. You have responsibilities. And teaching kids that balance, I think, is a very important lesson. If you're upset over what's going on in Iraq, I'm perfectly fine, or Iran, I'm fine with that. And go protest on the weekends or whatnot. But you can't let go of your responsibility for being a student.
Right. And quite honestly, I think if you look at the protests going on, I'm just going to say in Paso, say on the weekends.
Sure.
And, I had a guest on last week or the week before, I can't remember, from a women's group. And somebody kind of called in and said, well, why aren't the Republicans women's group doing this? The Democrats are. And it's not the women's group anyway that's doing these things. But if you look at who's out there, and I don't mean this to be mean, but if you go around this county and you look who's really doing the protesting on a weekly basis at different parks, I mean, Jared Hall is definitely something you're familiar with. I mean, these are like, hey, well, we're going to have cookies and coffee if you come hold this sign for us. And, you know, the average age is probably in the high 70s, 80s, you know. And I don't know. It's interesting. So go out there, young people. Go help out. You know, I mean, that's how I look at it. When they're out there. They're already out there. If you want to do it on the dim side, they're definitely out there.
Sure.
Because we're in that kind of cycle right now. You know, whenever you're with a Democrat president, you're going to see Republicans out there. When you're with a Republican president, you're going to see the Dems out there.
Yeah, and that's the thing that, you know, I've gone back to on this, is that, you know, making sure, in my train of thought on this, is that absolutely show kids how to be involved. Be involved in your community. Be involved in protest. Absolutely. Right. Absolutely be involved in all that. But don't forget, you do have responsibilities. And I think that's where I really differ with how the school districts handle things like this.
Right.
I think you need to teach kids that you have a responsibility to this classroom and to your classmates to do your homework and to be focused on this. And when you're done with your responsibilities, then yes, you can go do that.
You go after school, you go on the weekends.
Of course.
But do you want to spend your free time protesting, or do you want to leave school? I think the majority, vast majority of these kids, it was an excuse to leave. It was an excuse. I mean, what kind of happened that way? You had kids cussing out adults here in Paso, et cetera. It was more of a mob mentality. Let's go have fun. Let's go do this and be seen. Or it was, let's just go. You know, let's just go. I'm going to the beach. You know, I got a car. Who wants to jump in and go over to the coast?
Yeah, and I think a lot of it, too, is the thing that I would like to see is how many of those kids that were doing all this, once the cameras were gone and once KSBY wasn't there, or the Tribune or whatever that was covering them, did they have this level of fervor and support for what they're protesting on their own free time?
Right.
Or are they only doing it to get out of school?
Yeah.
You know, where were they on the weekends on their own time? Well, that's, you know, it's almost like, well, that's my time that I'm with my friends and going out. I'm not going to sacrifice that, but I'll sacrifice my school time.
And for me, I mean, I would love to be a reporter. And I'm not saying these kids, none of them aren't educated at all, but I don't feel like a lot of them really know. I'd love to be the reporter asking them questions. Do you actually know why you're here? I mean, with the questions, you know, whatever you're protesting, why you're here. I mean, I thought it was great. Bill Maher the other night had, what's the senator? Democrat, the senator? Schumer. He had Schumer on.
Okay.
And he names off, okay, when we attacked, you know, basically the president said, you know, I had every right to do this legally. I have blah, 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 blah. And he goes, exactly. He doesn't have those rights. And he goes, well, that was Obama talking about. You know what
I mean? That's, it's always, I always get fascinated with, especially, and you can do this, especially with high school and college kids, is you put quotes on the wall that were said by, let's say, Bill Clinton or Barack Obama, and you put Donald Trump's name under them, or you put George Bush or something along those lines. And then, and you say, you know, Donald Trump said this, and you read it off, and it's actually Barack Obama. And they'll go off on a tangent saying, this is just terrible and terrible. Well, what if I told you that wasn't Donald Trump? That was actually Bill Clinton, or that was Barack Obama who said that. All of a sudden it becomes, then all of a sudden they become making excuses for that quote. Well, but you have to remember.
Yeah, things were different.
And yeah, things were different. Yeah, that was a different
thing. When he attacked that country, it wasn't, you know, whatever.
Right. Yeah. And that's where, you know, you try to teach kids that, you know, kind of know a little bit about your history. You know what, not just what Donald Trump said, but what Barack Obama said and a lot of them said.
Right, right. And we have a caller. Good afternoon. You're on the air.
I just texted you guys. My God, Woody, you better win this election.
See, Eric? See, I told you.
Right?
Somebody likes me. Thank you so much.
Oh, gosh. I don't know if it's just me, but I can tell just by your sentence structure and stuff that you're not talking for anybody else kind of thing. I wanted to ask a question, though, just to not use up everybody's time to talk about BS stuff when you guys are talking about better stuff. But I don't have much money. I don't have much time. I'm not very physically fit. I can't go door to door very well. I'm probably not even a good looking guy to go up and do it. How can we help?
Oh, for this campaign?
Yeah, I don't have any money. I don't have any.
I tell people,
I don't live in.
I'm sorry to cut you off.
Go ahead.
I tell people this all the time. It truly makes a difference. If you're, for some reason, you're on social media, Facebook, you know, whatnot being the classic one, please post something on your website and talk about this campaign. Talk about the importance of doing something like this and getting involved. That is fantastic. We have,
where's a good place on Facebook to put it?
Put it on your website.
Put it on your personal page.
Post it on yours and then connect it. or ask questions of the opponent. I mean, ask Jim.
I think, honestly,
what do you want to do with these issues? Water issues, this community CSDs at San Simeon. I mean, he's not answering questions on any of this. He's, for a lot of reasons, because he supports all this nonsense.
Yeah, I think asking questions. I think one of the things, just so you know, if you're out there and you see somebody running for office that you're supporting, click a picture with them on your camera. Say, hey, I met, in your case, Michael Aaron Woody today. We had a great conversation. I really support his views on X, Y, and Z. And just put that on your personal page.
Oh, my gosh. It makes a huge difference.
The other thing, and I don't know if you guys are going to be doing this later on, is phone banking. You do have a good voice. So a lot of times you can volunteer to phone bank. And really all you're doing is sitting there, and you can do it from a computer.
Yeah, and you just stay at home. We'll have things like that. But if you can, go to my website. It's michaelaaronwoody.com or woodyforsupervisor.com, same website. And if you go to the contact page, just send a note to that, and it pops up on my phone. I get them all direct personally, and I respond to everybody and call people and whatnot. And I can get you dialed in on little things you can do that would make a huge difference in this.
Good, because, when I stand naked before God, I want to have him tell me you did a good thing there.
I appreciate it.
You helped the whole dang county.
I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
I love hearing you talk, buddy.
All right, sir. We'll talk real soon then. Get in touch, okay?
Aye.
Okay, cool.
All right. Well, there you go. Somebody likes you. but no, while we're on it, while we're on the campaign.
So when I lose the election, 15,000 to one vote, I got my one vote.
But you do have some town halls coming up, it looks like, here. Quite a few in April, one in May.
We've got.
You want to just tell us a little bit about that, what you're going to be talking about?
We've had a lot of neighborhood coffees that have been extremely successful. The next thing we're going to go to actual full-blown town hall meetings at local Veterans Hall and whatnot. And if you don't mind, if I could tell everybody when they are.
Yeah, go for it.
In date order, the first one we're doing is on April 7th on a Tuesday from 5 to 7 at the Cambria Veterans Memorial Hall over on Main Street in Cambria. If you live there in Cambria, you know exactly what I'm talking about. The next one will be on April 16th from 5 to 7 o'clock at the Morro Bay Vets Hall from 5 to 7 on Thursday, April 16th. The third one will be at the Los Osos South Bay Community Center on April 27th from 5 to 7 on Monday. And then the last one we have scheduled so far will be at the Morro Bay Vets Hall again on Saturday, May 2nd from 1 to 3. And I tell everybody the same thing. We're going to bring people in. It is ask any question you want. I will stand, whether 200 people show up or 10 people show up. You can ask me anything you want. Microphones will be there, whatnot. Sit around. We'll talk about all the issues that are going on in the community. But the biggest thing is making sure people understand you can ask me anything you want. I don't care.
So this is probably an elevator speech and then going into questioning.
Yeah, I mean, literally it's me talking for about 5 minutes and probably people throwing a cookie at me and saying, shut up, we want to ask questions. And then, well, that'll be you throwing the cookie at me. Yeah. And then
I have a whole box of them now.
Right, exactly. And then people can be asked, can ask questions. Because this is something that's been interesting to me in the past, is I've noticed that candidates are not doing these major full-blown town halls. So we rented out these community centers in order to do this, is so people can come in and say, look, right, I'm running for office. What would you like to know about me, my positions on things? And even if you ask a question and you disagree with me, I'm fine with that. That's democracy. But people have a right to know what I stand for and what I don't. And that is the frustration I'm going through in this campaign with who I'm running against, who's not answering any questions at all.
Right.
I mean, everything is just duck and cover with him.
I will say I reached out to him this the other day to see if he wanted to come on, since I was having you on, to give him a chance to come on and talk, and I, you know, crickets.
Yeah, I mean,
I didn't even get a no or a
You have been asking him to come on here since last June, July. Okay. How many times has he come on here?
I personally have never gotten a response.
Okay.
Not even a no. Or
we know that, you know. And I also know that with another one. I don't know if I'm allowed to say who it is, but
okay. You know, you say what you want to say. You might get whipped later, but
okay. It was it's Stu Jenkins' show.
Oh, okay.
Down at K News.
Yeah.
I know that I've been on there twice to talk about the campaign. Stu has made it very clear on the radio. We've asked your opponent to come on here, and Jim D'Antona refuses to come on and answer questions.
Well, if he refused, at least he answered. I don't mind somebody, you know, I've asked people, even the mayor of Paso asked him to come on, because sure, we were doing fluff shows about Paso. I ended up having Chris Balsh on. I had the mayor of Atascadero on. These weren't hard-hitting shows.
No.
But it was, no. Just, I will never go on that, Steve. Basically, he doesn't like this station.
Yeah.
And which to me is unfortunate, because you're talking to your constituents, whether you like the show or not. This wasn't an attack piece. This was, let's come talk about Paso Robles and get people excited about what's happening. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And that's what kind of kills me, is because I see so many people that are involved in politics or maybe running for office or whatnot, and you hear all the pettiness. I'll never do an interview with them. I'll never go on their show. I'll never... And it's like, no, those are the ones actually you should be going right on.
I'll be honest with you. I think a lot of people over the years has heard me, have read my writing and different things. I'm not a huge fan of Bruce Gibson. I think he
clearly
has really hurt this community. He's hurting North County right now because he refuses to leave a water board he has no real right to be on. But I will say, when he ran the... against Bruce Jones.
Yes.
He came on the station, and he actually did very good for himself. He had a little bit of a combative, like, you know, things were brought up by the host. He came on, he held his ground, he did good. Yeah, I can't take that away. I respect that. I respect that 100%. And also, when you come on the radio, you're not, you know, if somebody attacks you, then they should be fired. They shouldn't be on the, you don't go on, right, the, you know what I mean? So when you have a guest, it is your job. I know Karen had somebody on a while back, I can't remember who, and she kind of protected him and people were mad. Well, you protect your guest, because you want people to get that information, whether they agree with it or not, doesn't matter.
Right.
You don't let them get hit over the head with a sledgehammer. You keep the show going. You keep things civil.
Yeah, you know? And that's the odd part of it. One of the things that I've learned over time is that you're actually better off to have people around you that disagree with you.
That challenge you.
That challenge you. Because the reality is that one thing that I know in my life, as opposed to you, I'm not always right. So I know this. I know I'm not always right.
You just haven't gotten to that point yet.
I know. I'm trying desperately. But and I know this. I know that I'm not always right. But I want to be able to look at somebody and say, here's not just what I believe in, but most importantly, why. This is the information I'm going by. And I tell people, if I don't have something right here, show it to me. Tell me, please. Because I'm going by this report, this whatever.
Right.
You know, and if you see it differently, tell me.
The way it should be, and I'm going to agree with you on this by telling you a story. When I was looking in the running for supervisor, District 5.
Oh, good grief.
I got called into a room. It was a past client. I thought it was a call to like a warranty issue. And I was thinking, oh, it's been a while, but we back up our work. And I go over there and he goes, it was weird because the guy goes, can you come in the house? This guy was really weird about his house. He never let anybody in his house.
Yeah.
So it's like, we always had these big meetings in his garage and he'd have plans laid out, but we were never invited in the house. So I'm thinking, okay, this is weird. You know what I mean? He's invited me in the house. I go in there. There's a bunch of people in there.
Okay.
And I didn't know who they were at first. I knew this guy was a big Democrat. He had the proud Democrat on his work truck and everything else, and which is fine. And he goes, basically, they had all been on the Central Committee. If you know anything much about the Republican or Democrat Central Committees in this county, there was kind of taking over of both groups.
Right.
8-10 years ago, the Democrats a little more recently. And these were all people that had sat on that board.
Okay.
A lot of them executive committee meeting members on the Democrat Party who I kind of walked in. I was like, once I figured it out, I'm like, oh man, I'm walking into the lion's den, whatever.
Sure, sure.
But their whole thing was, we want to support you because the woman running on the Democrat ticket doesn't care about it. They've left us.
Yeah.
And we don't believe the other woman will support us. We don't believe you'll necessarily support us, but we believe you'll allow us in the room and we'll have a voice.
And you'll be fair.
Yes.
And we'll talk it through. I mean, I hear music.
Yeah, you hear music. We're going to have to get going. But that's how politicians should be. You should be willing to listen to anybody, especially the people that you don't see eye to eye.
And those are the people you need to keep around you. Keep the people that disagree with you around you.
Right. We'll be right back.
Ace Auto Care in Atascadero, the best price and service on brakes, tires, smog checks, oil changes, and more. Ace Auto Care, all your vehicle needs, everything you want.
Fox News, I'm Tom Rigotti. Israel is targeting bunkers in Iran as the war continues. Fox's Steve Harrigan reports.
One target in particular belongs to Iran's Revolutionary Guard. It's an underground complex where ballistic missiles have been tested, that being targeted by the Israelis. At the same time, U.S. officials are now saying that because of air superiority, U.S. warplanes can fly freely over all of Iran.
The NYPD has called a bomb squad near the residence of Mayor Zoran Mamdani after a suspicious device was found in a nearby park.
This comes at a very heightened time for people who live in this area because we know a terrorism investigation is underway after the FBI says two suspects brought homemade bombs to an anti-Muslim protest in New York City on Saturday. Thankfully, neither detonated, but police have said one of them could have caused a devastating loss of life.
That's Fox's CB Khan in New York. America's listening to Fox News.
With the big, beautiful bill comes new tax laws, and for business owners, that means more rules, more details, and more chances to miss important savings. This is Billy Gallant with your locally owned and operated H&R Block offices. We stay on top of every tax law change so your business stays compliant and keeps more of what it earns. From deductions and credits to full business tax preparation, our experienced tax professionals handle it all with accuracy and personal service you can trust. Don't let new tax laws cost your business time or money. Call your local H&R Block office today to make an appointment and get your business taxes done right.
And welcome back to Protecting What Matters. Again, I am your host today, Eric Gorham. We have Barry out today, but he will be back in Tuesday. And we have Michael Aaron Woody running for District 2 supervisor. And for those that don't know, what's that area?
That district is the coastline, basically from Montana de Oro, Los Osos.
Right.
All the way up to the coastline, all the way up to the Monterey County line. So it's, you know, it's Los Osos, Morro Bay, Cambria, Harmony, San Simeon, Cayucas, Ragged Point. Mm-hmm. Which, by the way, take the time to go up to Ragged Point, go get some coffee at their coffee shop up there if you haven't done that yet.
Right.
Or go up to the Piedras Blancas Lighthouse.
Oh, yeah.
And go do the tour.
I want to do that, actually. I've never done that.
You haven't done the tour yet?
I never
have. The tour is amazing. It starts early. It's like you can Google it and find it, but it's a $25 tour. They start with a group of people, and they take you all through the history of the Piedras Blancas Lighthouse. If you haven't done this, go do it. It's a blast.
Right. And then into a little bit of San Luis.
Yeah.
And
and then it goes back down to Los Osos Valley Road into a little bit of the neighborhoods out in San Luis Obispo.
Yeah, I always wondered why San Luis needed three supervisors.
That that's a strange one because
it goes against what the Fair Map Act and everything else.
Strange because on the flip of it, I don't know how mathematically. I like the district that is drawn out for where I'm running. I think it makes sense.
Right.
I wish there was a way to draw out so the people of San Luis Obispo and that Cal Poly area could be...
part of San Luis Obispo?
No. Area, but because, it's kind of strange to know that...
Cal Poly belongs to District 5. A lot of it, and yes. That was literally.
And if you go across the street on not Foothill, but if you go in that area, that's when you actually start getting a little bit into my district as well. It's a strange thing.
I kind of understand the coastal thing, looking for people, but it makes no sense for North County to be lumped in with Cal Poly.
Yeah, and for
to me, that was always a certain supervisor about 20 years ago.
Yeah.
20 years ago, 10, 15, whatever many years ago from District 5 that was trying to keep a seat.
Yeah, and for me, I know that...
And I wasn't against the rules back then. Technically, it's against the rules now, but we just...
The thing that I like is I like the district that I'm in because it's the small coastal communities from Montana de Oro all the way up the line, and that makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of cultural... and environmental issues that are very consistent throughout those communities.
Right.
But once you get into each one of those communities, they all have very unique individual problems and issues they're dealing with.
Yeah, and realistically to me, and in theory, you know, California, I think, and this county threw away the Fair Map Act, which is actually a good act.
Yeah.
But one of the primary things on there is communities of interest, and the biggest community of interest can only be a city. It can't be a city with another city.
Interesting.
So
I didn't know that detail of it.
Yeah, that's rule number two, I think.
Is it?
Yes.
Let me go to rule number one. I'll figure out the first one before I get to number two.
But which, you know, kills me about San Luis Obispo, because the big thing was, we had our big scandal here in the county, but the other map was a pretty pure map. It just Democrats didn't like it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. The thing, and I know for me, and I'm being a bit probably parochial when I talk about this, but it's like I said, I go back to, I really, really like the district for us,
right?
You know, how this works. It really makes a lot of sense for our coastal communities because they're very eclectic communities. Yeah.
And I think 3 and 4 are very three and five are bastardized, and they in no way, shape, or form live up to the majority of the rules in the Fair Map Act, which was, you know, gerrymandered by our basically Don Ortiz Legge, Jimmy Paulding, and Bruce Gibson.
And
you can make arguments. The other map was a radical change, but it actually met the rules. I mean, that's the difference between the two.
And the thing
one
is,
was within the rules, one is without. And honestly, if you go back 10 years prior, the other map was within the rule. Now I would say it's gerrymandered. But if you go back 15 years ago with the little reaches into San Luis for both districts, that was legal back then. It wasn't 5 years ago when we redid the maps.
Yeah, and I know for me, I wish I could figure out a way to more so make it a little more cohesive for the people in the city of San Luis Obispo County and Cal Poly, because I've always saw that as a kind of like the district that I'm running for right now. There's a cultural similarity to it. Right. You know, it's a little more homogenized.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I go back to this district that I'm, you know, would like to represent the people out there. And,
right.
And if I could back up, when we're talking about agreeing to disagree, and you were telling the story about how you walked into this meeting one day, it's like the issues we're dealing with in my district. You know, Los Osos, I think, is a great example of this with the water issues. We were talking about how, you know, one of their basic water problems is the underground aquifer, and how we have seawater intrusion
yeah.
and seawater intrusion to that aquifer. And so the big discussion out there is, what do we do about growth? Because there's a moratorium on growth until that problem is solved. And there are people that are saying, like the county came back recently and said, we're going to allow basically for 25 homes a year, without getting to the details of how that works. And, you know, and I know that there are a good fair amount of people in development community that have looked at me and have been on the opposite side of my opinion, which is, I've said, until you get sustainable water out there, no, we should not be doing this. So yes, I would like to reverse that if I got into office. Now, but that's the thing, is that I can sit down and look across the table at somebody and agree to disagree. And it's like what you pointed out. The people that I'm disagreeing with, I'm walking in there and we're having a good conversation over it. And I'm doing it based on, I have a reason for it. And it's not because of, you know, you supported or you didn't support or anything. That's not personal or anything.
Right.
It's just, this is my view on it. But they also know that when the next issue comes up, and it could be something with homelessness, they know that we're right there at the table, we're still shaking hands, and we're still working together to move the community forward. It's just sometimes we're going to agree and sometimes we're going to disagree.
And what's interesting, I've talked to people over the years that do this, and you'll talk to somebody and they'll say, well, I don't like Michael because he's
so
not pro-buildable.
So good looking.
Yeah, that's what it, but then they default their vote. I've seen this. You know, I don't think Trump's a good example because he's so polarizing.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'll make up an example with you. I'm going to vote for Dan. But did you look at Dan? You know, I've seen many people that say, I hate Trump, this and that. But did you look at Kamala? Oh, she was just the next best thing, but why? And they can't answer the question why she's better. She's just not Trump, or it's not Woody, or it's not John Hammond, right. Or it's not, it doesn't matter who it is. A lot of people vote for somebody because they're so caught up on one issue, they don't always even look at how the other person stands on it.
No.
You know what I mean? Don't. It's amazing.
Yeah.
And I've noticed that a lot in the last 10 years.
Oh.
Like, I'll be so polarized, and I'm not just talking about Trump, I'm talking about anybody. You know what I mean? I get how Trump polarizes people, and if you don't like him, you don't like him, and nothing's going to change your mind. But I saw it with Lynn Compton.
Yeah.
And it was just like, well, you know, it's when you go back, you want to go to those people. How did it work out for you?
Yeah. And it's interesting because, you know, even when you look at, you know, my race that I'm doing here, is that one of my primary goals in all of this, and, you know, you've got the brochure in front of me. We've got a 12-page full-color brochure we're handing out to people that outlines issues and talks about issues and what I'd like to do and what I'm concerned over and what I'd like to see and what I don't want to see happen out there. But the one thing that I was adamant on going into this was, we're going to take on the issues, we're going to discuss them, we're going to come up with a game plan, explain where we want to go and why we want to go in this direction, and talk truthfully to people so they have an understanding of what I'm about as a potential community leader, as a potential person that could help solve the problems out here. That has always been the goal of this. The frustration I have with somebody like Jim D'Antona is that you can't even ask him, Jim, what do you want to do about wind farms, ocean wind farms? And it's, well, you know, that's really not an issue, so let's talk about offshore oil. And it's like, wait a minute, Jim.
Well, we don't have that here.
Let's get back to the issue here, Jim. What would you like to do about this? And that's because he's always supported this. He has supported it in newspaper columns and everything else. But he's trying to obfuscate the whole thing and not answer questions. And to me, just as a citizen here, there's nothing more frustrating than looking at a local elected representative and saying, hey, I have a concern over homelessness, or I have a concern over the economy, and you say, here's my concerns, what do you want to do about it? And then they don't even answer your question, And then they say, oh, by the way, you got your 3 minutes. Sit down. Otherwise, we're going to throw you out of the room. And it's like, wait a minute here. That's not democracy. That's
right.
Not how this works.
Right. And I feel like, and I could be wrong.
No, you can't be wrong. No.
Well, hasn't happened this year yet. I feel like he's played the role of, I'm going to be on a slate.
Yes.
I have the backing of Bruce Gibson.
Yes.
And that's going to get me elected.
That's exactly the campaign he's running.
Very similar to like a Hillary Clinton campaign.
Yeah, his campaign.
You know, don't run. It's my turn to be anointed. And this guy isn't even local or really put his time in, which is interesting.
He moved here 7 years ago, I believe it was. From and that, 7, 8 years ago.
That's not a horrible thing, but no. I think if you're going to move here 7 years ago, run for office, you better be out there educating people about you.
I think that's what troubles me about Jim. Now, everything I'm saying is this is not, I personally dislike him or anything else. I think he's a pleasant enough guy. But, you know, I would just say to anybody running for office across the board, you can't just go out there and simply say, I'm a Democrat, which is on all of his emails and everything else. I'm not putting words in his mouth. It is, I'm a lifelong Democrat, and vote for me because it's about the balance of power. Those are his emails he's putting out. He's got his little small little card that he hands out door to door, and the first thing on it says, vote for me because I'll protect democracy. And I'm out here saying, vote for me because here are the community issues we're actually dealing with, and right. Here's where we need to go. He's running on the just duck and cover, I'm a Democrat, nobody's going to know any better, voters are going to vote for me anyway, so why even get in the middle of it? Just duck and cover.
Right.
And voters are seeing very well what's going on with this campaign, and they are remarkably fresher. We go door to door. We hear it all the time.
Yeah.
And, but, you know, that's his strategy going into the whole thing.
I think, not that I'm bitter about redistricting, I keep bringing this up, but
yes,
I would love to see District 2 and 4 fall.
Oh, you mean, to have me win,
and Verdin win. I would love to see it just because I feel like the maps are gerrymandered, and then this is just a slap to your insult. You gerrymandered maps, and now you have one person in office.
I think the interesting thing about my district is that because of everything that took place with the gerrymandering and the lawsuits and everything that took place, half my district statistically, which is Los Osos and Morro Bay, which statistically represents half the districts, have not voted for somebody in eight years.
Right.
And let me tell you something. You talk to people, they let you know about it very clearly. They're very upset. There has been zero representation, and there's a real feeling that when you go to your local government, and this is your planning commission, your representatives, that you're talking to a room full of people that are simply saying, in essence, read between the lines. We've already made up our mind on this planning issue, on this zoning issue. Thanks for your 3 minutes. Now we're going to do it our way.
Exactly.
And there's a feeling that that's reality. That's what government is doing to us today.
Right.
And people are irritated by this.
Oh, yeah. No, for sure. And that would be interesting living over there because, they haven't really had a say-so. Los Osos, Morro Bay.
Oh, my gosh. And the people of Los Osos, I mean, they're still asking the most basic question, which is, how much are we paying in property taxes and how much are we getting back? And nobody can answer that question. I mean, that is just a no-brainer to ask.
Right.
In fact, I know the council members with the city of Morro Bay have been going to the county and saying, hey, how much are our people paying and what are we getting in return? We're an incorporated city, so we don't get a share. So you pay for arrest, you pay for booking fees and all of that. But what are we getting in return as a community? And we have communities out there that can't get those basic spreadsheet statistics.
Right.
And it's extremely frustrating out there for people.
Oh, I believe that for sure. And I think that, when I look at the now almost, 20 years of Bruce Gibson over there on the coast.
5 terms, yeah.
I don't know how Cambria, Cayucas... Of course, Cayucas has benefited a little bit because he lives there.
Yes.
But if you look at Cambria, you look at San Simeon, you look at that whole coastal, with the exception of Cayucas, because Cayucas has gotten some things because he lives across the street from the beach at Cayucas. So, you know, when he wanted to fix up the pier and wanted to redo that building, which I was looking at the other day, which I wish they would have kept it more like an old building and trying to make it look like an old building. But
and I don't mean to interrupt you. I apologize, but I'll tell you a funny story about that building and the expense of it. We're having a hard time getting a booking over there to do a town hall because it is so extremely expensive to book there. I mean, these places I'm booking at the Vets Hall and, you know, at Los Osos, et cetera, they're reasonable.
Right.
Because this costs a good amount of money for me to do. But that booking, that is like, wow, you guys want like a lot of money.
Yeah, it used to be really cheap. A lot of people, I've watched people walk out to the beach, get married, and then walk into their reception over there because they were on a budget.
Yeah.
And they got married by the pier, literally out in the sand.
Sure.
And then they go have their reunion for a reunion. They have their,
there you go.
Wherever I'm at, they go have their celebration there. And that was a great building. I've been to some of those. It was a great place. Not super fancy, but like I didn't go inside. But I was looking at it this weekend.
Oh, it's beautiful. I mean, it really, they did an amazing job. The construction work that was done, it's a beautiful work.
Yeah, we went over to Schooner's, had a bite to eat, and then kind of walked around. And I was like, I don't know. I don't know if I like the facade of it.
Well,
when you get close up to it, then it's fake.
Yes.
It's made to look old.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah, it's like I said, faux old or whatever you call it. But it's...
far away, it looks great.
But that's been the frustrating thing that I've heard from a lot of constituents out there is that we got this great, big, beautiful building, but
nobody can afford it.
No, but we can't afford it. I mean, you go to, you know, if you're out in Morro Bay and you want to rent out the Vets Hall, it's extremely reasonable to do and very easy to do. And so you can have a community event there with your nonprofit or whatever, and it's very reasonable to do. When you do something there, it's like, I don't know if we can afford this because it's so expensive.
Right.
And that aspect is... There are things like that that are very frustrating.
Yeah, no, I get it. And yeah, and that's a county thing. You know, Cayucos is not an incorporated city.
Right.
But I do feel like Cayucos got things that, you know, Harmony didn't get. Not that Harmony is going to get a whole lot, but Los Osos or Morro Bay just because of the resident supervisor there.
Yeah.
And it was always his do stuff on a big scale across the county. Do stuff for San Luis or do stuff for Cayucos.
And yeah, and there's, you know, I mean, look at the people, Los Osos. I mean, they have a serious park shortage, you know, acreage per person, population, et cetera. And, you know, the questions that they ask, and rightfully so, is, wait, how come these other regions across San Luis Obispo County are getting this representation and the monies for these parks and whatnot? And we have to go out there and we have to go out and buy Sunnyside School in order to get a park. And by the way, we already bought it to be a school. Now we have to buy it again from the school district to, you know, create a park out of it. And everybody's scratching their head and saying, wait a minute, we're buying this twice? And it's created it's a bit acrimonious out there over that because everybody agrees we need to do this.
Right.
But when you bring up that basic issue of, you know, this doesn't make any sense, they're right. It doesn't make a lot of sense. Why are you making people buy this twice?
Right. So what are your thoughts on Morro Bay Battery Plant?
You're really asking me that?
And what should or shouldn't happen with that property?
That property, no, you should not have a battery plant there. In fact, you should not have a battery plant within 3 miles of anything that's a sensitive, whether it's environmentally sensitive neighborhoods or any of those types of areas throughout SLO County. There are plenty of urban rural areas you can put battery plants. Putting them next to our neighborhoods or next to our oceans is not one of them and should never be because as we know what happened at Moss Landing, when you have the emergency response area that people have to be, the evacuation zones, that's about 3 miles. You should not be putting people within an evacuation zone, much less our oceans and whatnot. So you shouldn't have that there. And most people were surprised to find out through research that was done, the real history of that property before the PG&E went in there. The county of San Luis Obispo bought the property from the federal government after the war.
Right.
And when they bought the property, it was actually slated and bought to be a 120-acre regional park. And guess what? It got sold to PG&E in about, of course, about 3 weeks and turned into the PG&E power plant we have there today.
We'll be right back with the last segment of Protecting What Matters. If you want to call in, now's the time. And if you want to text in, we'd love to hear from you. 238-5775, 238-KPRL. And we'll be right back with more Protecting What Matters.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Maria Bartiromo, and this is the Fox Business Report.
A volatile trading session on Wall Street with the major averages losing steam in the final hour of trading and ending mixed after advancing for much of the day as investors remain cautious amid all the headlines. However, oil prices eased, soothing inflation worries, with U.S. crude ending around $87 a barrel, while Brent crude, the global benchmark, finished around $88 a barrel and deepening a decline that began after briefly surging to its highest level since 2022 on Monday. Most all of the 11 S&P 500 sectors finished lower, with energy and healthcare the worst performers, while tech gained. The Dow winners, Caterpillar, Honeywell, and Home Depot. The Dow decliners, Microsoft, Boeing, and Salesforce. The Dow falling 34 points, the Nasdaq up 1, S&P 500 down 15. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
I'm alpine skier Michaela Schifrin. I've won the most World Cup ski races in history. But what does success mean to me? Success means discipline. It's teamwork. It's the drive and passion inside of us, and it's why Stifel is one of the fastest growing global wealth management firms in the country. If you're looking for success, surround yourself with the people who will get you there. If you're an advisor or investor, choose Stifel, where success meets success.
Stifel Nicolaus & Company Incorporated, member SIPC and NYSE.
Past performance is no indication of future results. Investing involves risk. Consult a financial advisor before making any investment decision.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
As the markets have their ups and downs, real estate remains one of the most stable assets in everyone's portfolio. Hi, this is Cindy Mims, owner broker of Colony Mortgage, voted best mortgage company in North County 3 years running. We offer conventional FHA, VA, and reverse mortgages and 100% purchase loans for first-time home buyers. Are you a builder and tired of the red tape when dealing with banks and expensive hard money loans? I have a great new option. Or are you 62 years or older? You can possibly eliminate your monthly mortgage payment and get cash in your pocket. At Colony Mortgage, we have hometown service with competitive rates. We have years of experience with creative financing to find that right loan for you. If it's credit issues stopping you, let us help. We move from our 20-year Atascadero location and now offer two convenient locations to meet personally in Atascadero and Paso Robles. Call 805-466-3598. Thank you for supporting your local businesses.
And welcome back to Protecting What Matters. Again, Barry's out. You got to go through about 8 more minutes with me and then...
Discussing that quiche is not quiche if it doesn't have crust.
I don't think you know what you're talking about.
I know exactly what you're talking about. It's on page 4 of my brochure.
But there you go. How do you get one of these brochures if you wanted one?
You know what? You can just get on my website and just send me an email or send me a text message or something.
Mail it out.
Yeah, and I will... Heck, I'll bring it by your house.
There you go. Yeah, meet these candidate.
They're 12-page full-color
brochures.
You
bring
brochures.
A Yeti full of coffee and...
Yeah.
Sit down and talk.
Bring some of your quiche.
I think you're gonna get. You might get more of those Geritol Democrats coming over if you're gonna bring
what
coffee.
What is a Geritol Democrat?
It's the 80-year-olds that you see all over the place protesting. I think what is that movement that gets them out for the Democrats? They have that website.
I don't know.
I can't think of the name right now. I think they're like literally going after seniors in their 70s and 80s. I said, we'll buy you donuts and coffee and put you on a bus if you come and hold these signs for us.
There's two issues with this. One of which I think everybody should be involved. I don't care what your age is. You can call them Geritol Democrats or Geritol, whatever.
Well, the thing is, you don't see anybody younger.
You're just rude.
I am rude. I'm just pointing out that you're not seeing these kids in high school. You're not seeing all these people that got the day off. They're not showing up when it's their Saturday.
You know what? I'm going to tell you something. One of my pet peeves that I've noticed in both political parties is they are constantly trying to say we need to get younger people in there.
You need to get them involved, not in there, in my opinion.
Well, get them involved.
Yeah.
But you know what? Every time I've seen them walk in, and I'm not talking about the kids who should stay in class in high school. It's a different discussion. But I'm talking about the ones that are, just get out of college or late college, early mid-20s or whatnot. Every time that their voice shows up in the room, the people who've been doing this for 30, 40 years shut them down.
Yeah, because they don't have a plan.
Yeah, yeah.
If you want to bring in kids.
But they don't take their ideas seriously.
No, they don't. I sit on a central committee and I hear that all the time. We need the youth. And we do.
But you don't have to have
a way to foster that relationship. And if you don't, this is what happens.
But if all you're going to do is bring them in and say, we just need you as a token young person. So we say, we have young people in here, but you don't listen to them.
You need to get them involved and find a way to utilize them. And what happens is they generally leave quickly.
Yeah, because nobody listens to them.
Yeah.
And I try to tell them, listen to their ideas. Yeah. You do have a lot of years in front of them.
Well, there's a way to teach somebody, too. I mean, it's not like that sucks. It's like, oh, I want this and that. And you go, oh, well, have you considered this and that? And let them find the solution rather than telling them what your jaded, 50, 60, 70
I've been doing this for 5 decades.
Yeah.
We got Lincoln elected this way.
Oh, I have a daughter that was very much into a lot of this stuff and, like, I could roll my eyes and tell her how she was wrong. Or I could be like, well, have you thought about this? Or have you thought about that?
And that's the thing.
Let them expand their views.
Yeah, that there's a way to foster that. But likewise, sometimes it's hard for people who are older to look at somebody, half your age or even younger, and to say, you know what? They're right. They got a good idea here.
And this is a generation that's going to be taking care of a lot of people. And So, I think you're better off fostering those things. It's not easy, especially when you're looking at, if it's central committees, whether it's Republican, sure. Democrat, whatever. It takes volunteers that know what they're doing and know how to work with the younger generation that can spend the time. I have a pretty good idea. I have 6 kids. Yeah. I know how to deal with kids, but I don't have the time to sit, and foster a generation of local kids around here, what they would need. So it's really trying to find the people that can do that and be open-minded enough to bring those. I mean, I think central committees should have room for younger people, as voting members per se, even.
I would tell any central committee that, let's say you're, because how many people sit on the board?
Usually around 30.
Okay, if you get 30, I would slot in, I don't know, say 5. Mm-hmm. Say 5 or 7, a good chunk, not 2, not something token, but a good amount to say we want them to be, let's say, under 30 or something like that.
And most districts are 5. You could have a youth district that encompassed
absolutely
the county.
And you could, and I say this to even, because I know I've had this talk with Chamber of Commerce's before, because you look at their chambers and their chamber executive board is always the same people from these hyper successful multi-zillion dollar companies.
It's keto quiche.
Did somebody just text that?
Yes, so there.
Keto quiche.
And they have the muscles up.
Oh, they have muscles up.
Yeah.
I can't see the screen.
Yeah.
It's keto quiche. Keto quiche? Oh, ha. It's not
keto. Ha.
Keto quiche.
Yeah.
There's keto no such quiche. Thing as keto quiche. I just lost a vote. it's keto quiche. So vote for me. Keto quiche.
Yeah.
Great. And I just lost it. Right. But I've told this to Chamber keto quiche, I'm going to be saying this all day, keto quiche. Whoever texts that, you just ruined my day of mumbling keto quiche. But that's what I've always told the local chambers. It's not enough to have 20 people on your executive board that are all from these hyper successful, businesses. Why don't you have a third of your board as first time business owners that are dealing with those struggles. You need to have them at the table.
So we're going to run low on time here, but let's get out your information. Running for office here, running for District 2.
Yeah.
Best supervisor.
Find me on my website, michaelaaronwoody.com or woodyforsupervisor.com. Goes to the same website. Reach out to me. If you want to be part of this, part of something new and part of something different that's going to really preserve the Central Coast, reach out, because we can really make a difference in all of this.
Right. Take those pictures, put them on social media. We got a handful of town hall meetings. Get a hold of Woody. You got a phone number or a web address they can go to?
Yeah, just that web address, michaelaaronwoody.com or woodyforsupervisor.com, or email me directly at michaelaaronwoody@icloud.com.
All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back with you tomorrow with Karen.
Join us next Tuesday for Protect What Matters the Most with Barry Fisher. Send your questions and show topic ideas to barry@blazinbear.com. AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com. Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton. It's